Now for our scripture from the Old Testament, Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from of ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be the one of peace, if the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil. From the New Testament, book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Many years ago, before anti-discrimination laws were in effect, Mrs. Rosenberg was stranded late one night at a fashionable resort on Cape Cod, one that did not admit Jews. And the desk clerk looked down his book and said, "Sorry, no room. The hotel is full." And the lady says, "But your sign says that you have vacancies." And the desk clerk stammered and then said curtly, "You know that we do not admit Jews. Please try the other side of town." And Mrs. Rosenberg stiffened noticeably and said, "I'll have you know I have converted to your religion." And the desk clerk said, "Oh yeah? Well, let me give you a little test. How is Jesus born?" "He was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem," she replied. "Very good," replied the clerk. "Tell me more." "He was born in a manger." "That's right," said the hotel clerk. "And why was he born in a manger?" And Mrs. Rosenberg said loudly, "Because some idiot behind a hotel desk wouldn't give a Jewish lady a room for the night. Any more questions?" "No, didn't think so." She got her room. Every family develops their own Christmas traditions. When my mother was a child, Santa not only brought gifts on Christmas Eve, but he brought the decorated tree as well. When she was an adult, the tree went up 1 week before Christmas and came down on New Year's Day. Many put their trees up the day after Thanksgiving, or even the week before. Now, my tradition has been to decorate the tree over Thanksgiving weekend and take it down on January 6th, the day of Epiphany, when the wise guys finally arrive. But with everything going on this year, my normal routine didn't happen. And if it hadn't been for a lot of friends who helped me, my house would not have been decorated for Christmas. One of my most memorable Christmases relating to the tree occurred when I was 4 or 5 years old. I had a brother who was a year and a day younger than I. And to say that he was hell on wheels would be an understatement. And I also had a cousin, Mark, who was born about the same time. They were about the same age. And so my mother would babysit for Mark while my aunt worked. And those two boys were a handful. And one year, my mom not only had my older brother, myself, who was perfect, of course, and these two boys, she was also pregnant again. And they knocked over the Christmas tree I don't know how many times. And so my mother was not pleased, especially when a few of her favorite ornaments were broken. However, being a problem solver, she came up with the answer. And do you remember what playpens looked like in the 50s? They were square and large, and they were wood, and they had slats in them. She put the entire Christmas tree inside the playpen and pushed it into the corner. And the boys couldn't get close to it, so no more overturned tree or broken ornaments. Some people, especially with those with small children or pets, have taken to hanging their tree upside down from the ceiling. And I have a slide of one. Now, that would definitely be easier to clean underneath, and you would have a whole lot more room for presents. Well, there's nothing like tweaking sacred tradition to tick people off. You just don't mess with Christmas. I mean, for many people, the biggest fear of this season is that Christmas won't happen according to plan, that something will go awry and ruin Christmas thoroughly. A newly ordained pastor found this out immediately on his first Christmas Eve service. I mean, it was a packed sanctuary with many new visitors and a festive atmosphere. And the pastor went to the door to greet people as they left, to wish them a Merry Christmas, believing that all was right with the world. When one of the longtime church members came to the door, but refused to shake his hand. Scowling, he said, "Thanks for ruining my Christmas. We didn't sing the first Noel as the second carol. We've always sung that carol second in the order of worship on Christmas Eve. Without that, it's just not Christmas." He could have had his own animated special, The Pastor Who Stole Christmas. But let's face it, the Christmas story is rather upside down. Scripture tells us that turning things upside down is exactly what the agenda was of this coming king. The prophet Michael wrote about a coming reversal of fortune for the people of Israel. The nation faced God's judgment because of their disobedience. The old patterns of idolatry and corruption that characterized the reign of many of their kings had made the nation almost Grinch-like in its devotion to self-interest, material gain, and oppression of the weak. In the midst of this prophecy of judgment and tough times ahead, God still offered hope. A new king would arise who would break this old pattern and, in effect, turn things upside down. And his origins came from the lowly town of Bethlehem, one of the little clans of Judah, which is a sign that God is interested in overturning the human expectations of power and prestige in favor of uplifting the weak. The king will be a shepherd who will feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. And shepherding is a commonplace metaphor for leadership throughout the Bible. And this image calls to mind the choosing of David over Saul as the king of Israel back in 1 Samuel. It is the humble, compassionate servant whom God chooses over mighty warriors and handsome princes. You know, one of the reasons we enjoy the movie Shrek was, and one of the reasons it was such a success is that it turned every expectation on its head. The green ogre wins the princess. The beautiful princess takes love's true form, a green ogre. The lowly donkey is the hero. The fiery dragon is a lady. The fairy tale outcasts are invited to the wedding celebration. And the wedding takes place in a swamp. The smelly onion becomes the glorious coach in which they ride. And the self-exalted lord ends up in the fiery pit. I mean, viewers were forced to examine the concepts of love, faithfulness, trust, and even grace from an entirely different perspective. The miraculous unlikelihood of the events of Christmas would cause us all to re-examine what we think we know about the meaning of God's ultimate gift. The word Messiah is not mentioned in the Micah passage, but Christians have long read this as a messianic prophecy, naturally applying it to Jesus as the one who would secure his people and be the one of peace. Jesus came amidst a swirl of expectations about a Messiah who would save his people and do it according to a preconceived and religiously approved plan. And he was expected to wield a sword instead of a shepherd's crook and make peace by eliminating the enemies of Israel, particularly the minions of Rome, who occupied their land. The Messiah was to make a list and check it twice, determine who was naughty and nice, and make sure that the ultimate holiday, the restoration of Israel, would come according to the script, complete with happy ending and roll the credits. Instead, Jesus does nothing less than turn their expectations upside down and hang them from the ceiling, the spiritual ceiling, as a way of making room for everyone. He preached love over and against vengeance for enemies. He spent time with the outcasts and proclaimed that they would be the new in crowd. He was a great teacher, but performed as a lowly servant, even washing feet. For Jesus, the categories of rich and poor, in and out, great and humble, even life and death, were all reversed. And it's no wonder that traditionalists would argue that he was ruining everything and want him out of the picture. Many people coming to our churches on Christmas Eve are seeking the perfect topper to a perfect Christmas, and they don't want to deviate from the traditional script. There's the tree, there's the manger. Here are the Christmas carols. Just get us home in time to wrap the rest of the presents. What a great opportunity for us to proclaim that this baby in the manger does indeed cry out, despite what we sing in the carol, Away in a Manger. He cries out for justice, for mercy, for compassion, and for a completely new order of life in God's kingdom. And this baby is the one who turns the whole world upside down. Instead of celebrating sameness and traditional uniformity during the Christmas season, we should be celebrating the upside down and backward nature of the gospel that Jesus ushers into the world. A manger-born Messiah, a counterintuitive rabbi and teacher, a religious rebel to the establishment, a crucified king and a resurrected redeemer. Nobody expected this at the time. It would have been too much. It would have been too off-putting. It would have been too off the map, making upside-down Christmas trees look normal by comparison. Well, perhaps we could all use a little upside-down Christmas this year and see the world from the perspective of both the manger and the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.